I'm honored today to stand here in front of you in the pulpit, thankful for a church who supports that, and also thankful to be here among you, a community of friends, and to welcome my parents with us for the first time here at Dayspring to support me. Today in our lectionary text that we just heard read in our gospel reading in Mark 6, we hear what is probably a familiar passage as the events leading up to the feeding of the 5,000. But we're not there yet today. It's for another Sunday. Today we're in the verses just ahead of that. So for some context, if you look back at the book, we know that Jesus had sent the disciples, the 12, out in a couple of chapters previous to this reading. They had gone out to do what he had been doing, and they had returned. We've just had the death of John the Baptist, and so you can imagine that the disciples are feeling a little up and down in the motions of life. And as we learn, maybe they haven't even had time to eat. Any parents in the room, feel me on that. So what we find is Jesus seeing the disciples, and he invites them to a quiet rest. Sounds nice, right? But as they come to know, and as many of us know, those quiet places of rest sometimes don't last long. And the next thing that we read is their quiet and rest are interrupted. The text says that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. This phrase caught my attention as I read our text for today. This idea that Jesus saw the crowd, was moved to compassion for them, and then began to respond, in this case, to teach them. I discovered that this isn't just a one-time phrase. In fact, this idea, this same pattern of Jesus seeing a crowd or an individual in front of him, being moved to compassion, and then responding in some way, often teaching, healing, those kinds of things, actually is repeated at least six other times in the New Testament in the gospel readings. My prayer for us today, as we dig in a little bit into this pattern of seeing a crowd or an individual, having compassion and being moved to respond, that we would experience again the compassion and kindness of Christ in our own lives, as the crowd did that day, and that we would be encouraged to show that compassion to those around us as we faithfully participate in this upside-down kingdom that Jesus is demonstrating in the book of Mark. So let's begin with the seeing of the crowd. In this passage, Jesus makes time to see the crowd. He's not too preoccupied with his own agenda. He instead lives a life that seems open and welcome to interruptions. He doesn't turn around or run back to the boat and try to find another quiet beach for him and his disciples, but he instead takes time and sees the crowd in front of him. Mark tells us in the text that Jesus not only physically sees the crowd, but somehow discerns and recognizes this crowd has needs. Needs because they are a people like sheep without a shepherd. This highlights that Jesus isn't only seeing physical needs, as I'm sure he wasn't commenting on the crowd's body condition, parasite load, grazing habits, or hoof rot. That's a farm sheep joke. But instead, he's speaking to the neglect of the authorities at the time in the spiritual and emotional care of the people. So Jesus, as our good shepherd, recognizes this need of the crowd and is moved to respond. Good shepherds see their sheep. They observe the sheep, watching for behaviors that could indicate illness or injury. Shepherds keep sheep from going down paths or into pastures that could be harmful. They protect and provide for them. Good shepherds have proximity to their sheep. In this text and in other gospel writings, Jesus chooses to have proximity to his people. He's not only found in the synagogues or temples, but in the streets, the marketplaces, the gathering areas, even in people's homes. We find him among the people. He is God incarnate, God with us. And this, my friends, is good news even for us today, that Christ sees us has compassion towards us and is with us. So as Jesus sees the crowd, he's then moved to compassion. Now, in your little asterisk of your welcome program, welcome piece of paper, I'm blanking. I have an asterisk next to my name that says I'm a recent Truett graduate, but I am no Greek scholar, so don't hold that against me. But I find that looking at the Greek word for this moved to compassion is quite interesting. The word for compassion means to be moved as in one's bowels or gut, because at the time, that was thought to be the seat of emotion, much like we would describe the heart today. And then to have not just a pity for someone, but to be moved to something. So keep that in mind as we talk about Jesus being moved to compassion. Another more modern definition of compassion is to suffer with or together, to suffer together. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus responds to the people around him with this type of compassion. He has compassion towards the sick and the outcast of society, the lepers, those who are blind and deaf. He has compassion towards women and children, drawing them to himself, being in proximity with them, even as they are unclean or the low of low. He has compassion towards Jews and Gentiles. He has compassion toward the hungry and the lonely, those grieving and mourning. Jesus models for us that this compassion isn't relegated to those who look, think, believe, or act like us, but toward all of creation. And he doesn't just step in to fix the problem, although he could, or solve something for the people. He's truly modeling an upside-down kingdom where the Messiah, the Son of God, desires not to be served, but to serve, not to only be followed or distantly sit in his throne away from his subjects, but to be among us in proximity. This is good news for us today, that Christ sees us and has compassion toward us. He knows our failures, our shortcomings, the overwhelming anxieties or emotions, the rough day at work or of parenting, the grief, the uncertainty. He knows our needs and he sees us. And he has compassion towards us, towards you today. May that be a reminder of the peace of Christ today, that God sees me, is compassionate towards me and you, and is with us. In Colossians, we are encouraged also as followers of Christ to put on or clothe ourselves with this same compassion that Christ is modeling. Colossians says, "So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also." If you have kids that have been participating in the children's choir, you may have heard this song on repeat recently. I'm looking forward to hearing them sing in a few weeks. As we see Jesus having compassion, we are exhorted to do likewise in the relationships that we have, not only loving our friends and family or those close to us, but also to love, pray for, stand with those who might be our enemies, those who don't think or believe like we do. One thing that drew us as a family here today, Spring, is the spiritual formation of our kids that takes place here. Pastor Amy and her team do such an amazing job with the curriculum and intentionality of our kids' formation, and we're very grateful. I was encouraged to hear a story from Compassion Camp this summer. Maybe some of you in the audience were there, which is our version of a vacation Bible school here at Dayspring in the summer. This year, the kids were encouraged to make care packages or bags of items to then be able to hand out around town, either to people on the streets or to those experiencing homelessness. And as we talked about this with some of our friends, the kids at the table began to have ideas about getting together and making more bags, because the bags they had made, they'd given away, and of course, we were seeing a lot of people who could use another one. Our friends also shared a story with us that they had given their bag to a person who had been extremely thankful, especially in the summer months, for some sunscreen and chapstick that was in the bag. Among emotion researchers, compassion is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and you feel motivated to somehow relieve that suffering. The Greater Good Science Center at the University of Berkeley says that cultivating compassion often begins with simple acts of kindness, such as the giving of these bags, that then in turn puts a human face to suffering, encouraging then more compassionate responses. Compassion and empathy then go often hand in hand in simple ways of connecting relationally or having proximity to those around us can help form us to be more Christ-like in our responses of compassion. Thirdly, Jesus responds. As he has seen the crowd, been moved to compassion, now he is responding. What's challenging about the response portion is that Jesus doesn't write out a formula of exactly how to respond to every person and situation that you may come across, either in his own ministry or in our life now. We can't copy-paste the interactions he has to the interactions that we find ourselves in today that need compassionate responses. Sometimes Jesus seems to meet physical needs, such as restoring someone's sight or hearing, or feeding the hungry. Other times, he seems to respond in teaching. Still other times, he seems to respond in both, in multiple ways, like in this passage that we read today. When he first sees them, he recognizes their need for teaching or leadership. But then at the end, he's been talking for so long that they've all been around, it's getting late, and now they're hungry. And we all know what comes next is that the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, he also meets their physical needs. While we don't have a formula or rule book to follow on exactly how to respond in every situation, what we do know and what we can see in the text is that Jesus chooses to respond and not ignore the situations around him. We may not always respond correctly or even know how to best help someone in front of us, but Jesus shows the way of love by seeing those around him, having compassion for them, and responding to their needs. As we think through what might be our own compassionate responses, we can do likewise. We can draw near to people in proximity, try to understand their situation, have compassion, desire to listen and empathize and suffer alongside someone, and try to discern how to respond in meaningful and thoughtful ways as faithful witnesses to the love of Christ. Friends, as we experience this passage again together this morning and see the compassion of Christ, may we practice receiving that compassion in our own lives and ask, how are we to practice giving this same compassion to others as we seek to love God and our neighbor? I would invite us to discern with the Spirit ways that we can receive this and give this to those around us, have compassion towards them, see the person in front of us, and respond in love. Maybe you know someone at work who needs a loving hug or a listening ear. Perhaps you feel the nudge to welcome someone into your home or make your own bags of items to hand out around town. Or maybe you know someone who might need a warm meal or, in the Texas heat, a cool drink. It's my strong belief that each of us as a congregation have been placed by God in proximity to people as witnesses to the love and compassion of God. Wherever you may find yourself this week, I pray that you know the compassion of Christ in your heart and that you are encouraged to see those around you and step towards someone in compassionate ways. May we continue to be formed in the likeness of Christ, our Good Shepherd.